Our first reading comes from Psalm 42, verses 5 through 7, a message of hope when one's soul is downcast. Please listen for the word of God. Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope is in God, for I shall praise him again, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your torrents. All your waves and your billows have swept over me. Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32 to 35. This is the familiar story of Lazarus, whose sister Mary approaches Jesus after she had witnessed Lazarus' death. Once again, listen for the word of God. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Does anyone here enjoy a sad story? How about a sad movie? I was trying to think of sad movies, and I came up with a few. Steel Magnolias, On Golden Pond. Charlotte's Web is a little sad. Romeo and Juliet. But then I was like, I only know older movies. Maybe there isn't a market for sad movies today. Maybe life has become so hard that we just don't want to add a sad movie to our list of things we like. Last week, we started a series entitled Healthy Emotions. And in it, we are giving thought to our powerful, life-bending emotions, realizing that our emotions come from God, that we are able and even allowed to express our feelings to God. In Jesus, we see a human experience, a full range of emotions. By looking at the landscape of his emotional life, we are seeking to gain some insight about processing and navigating our own powerful emotions. And I'm drawn from the work of Pastor Pete Scazzaro. He's the author of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And he lays out this foundational principle. Emotional health and spiritual maturity are inseparable. It's not possible to be spiritually mature and emotionally unhealthy. See, as people created in the image of God, all aspects of our life, physical, intellectual, spiritual, social, emotional, all these different parts make up who we are. And God knows us deeply. Therefore, we can bring our whole selves to our walk of faith. And yet it takes work to integrate our potent emotions and spiritual alignment with God. Yet in doing this important work, God adds beauty to our lives. Consider the beauty found in the fruit of the Spirit, fruit grown from the transforming work of God's Spirit within us. Fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sometimes I wonder if we have so overused this that the fruit lost a bit of their shimmer and shine. Leave it to Eugene Peterson to find a new way of expressing Galatians 5:22. Now, I hope you know Eugene. He's like one of my favorites. He is a Presbyterian pastor and the author of the Message version of the Bible. So hear now the Message version of Galatians 5:22. It says this, "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely." That's his version of those nine fruit. What a beautiful picture about how the Spirit, freely at work in our lives, grows gifts within us. And pain and loss are our teachers. They are two tools that help to shape our transformative journey to Christ-likeness. And today's message, week two of A Healthy Emotions, is entitled Embracing Sadness. I hope to make a case for the importance of sadness, connecting it to joy and the need for joy and sadness to coexist in harmony. Just a few minutes ago, we watched a movie clip from Pixar's 2015 movie called Inside Out. And if you haven't seen it, pro tip, it is available on Disney Plus. And even adults will like it. And then Inside Out 2, did you feel this, came to theaters last month. The news reported just this week that it is a box office hit. And my family and I, we saw it on opening weekend. Spoiler alert, the little girl in the movie has grown into middle school and introduces new emotions, including anxiety, embarrassment, and envy. So Inside Out, the original, is a story of a young girl named Riley. And most of the story happens inside of her head. The five main characters are joy and sadness and fear and disgust and anger. And they help Riley to navigate her life when her family ends up having to move across the country. And when you watch the movie, Joy is kind of the leader of the pack. She sort of takes charge. But what they discover is that all of the emotions are needed to process and to navigate the complexity of Riley's life. And we will come back to this moment in a bit, this movie in a bit, discovering that it is sadness, the character, that she is not someone to avoid and discard, but someone needed greatly in the middle of life's ever-changing and difficult circumstances. Today, sadness will have her time to shine. Our gospel passage is a story of sorrow. It ended with that line, "Jesus began to weep." When he saw his friends grieving over the loss of Lazarus, Jesus wept. Mary's tears caused his own to well up. And this is not the only story where we see Jesus weep. One time he looked over Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and he wept over the city, saying, "If only you had known what would bring you peace." And so I wonder about that. What caused Jesus to weep over an entire city? Was it the reality that his message had fallen on closed ears? Was it the lack of peace demonstrated by religious leaders? Was it that he knew what was coming? Because just 40 years later, the city would be burned and the temple destroyed by the Roman Empire. Jesus felt sad for the people of Jerusalem. And then in Luke 11, we witness Jesus expressing profound sadness at the death of his friend Lazarus. It's triggered by Mary saying to him that she wished he had gotten there sooner. Jesus doesn't shy away from his emotions. He weeps openly. This moment shows us that even the Son of God experienced and expressed sadness. And it's a powerful reminder that sadness is a natural and important part of our human experience. Observe his emotional response in verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Just like last week, that little word in there, saw. When Jesus saw her weeping, and even the people, they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus saw and he responded with shared grief. Sometimes it's hard for us to cry. Jesus saw and was moved to tears. It says he was greatly disturbed in his spirit. He was deeply moved. Some of us work so hard to push aside or bury our emotions that it becomes automatic to refrain from showing or feeling even deep emotion. Other of us believe that crying represents weakness, possibly a value that we picked up or that was modeled in our families of origin. So to remain strong, we turn off the possibility of tears. Your tears are important because tears bring us relief. They wash away toxins and stress hormones. They release endorphins that make us feel better. Your tears reveal your sadness to others, opening the opportunity to receive comfort and support. Crying actually strengthens the bonds between people. So don't you wish that I had a really sad story to tell you right now in this moment so that we could have a good morning cry together? I'm sorry, I could not think of a way to orchestrate that. So there will be no group cry this morning on the spot. And crying was not the theme of the Inside Out movie. But joy did try to limit the impact of sadness in Riley's life. At the beginning of the movie, Joy is out there completely in control. She's directing everyone, here, here, here. She draws this big square, actually a small square, on the ground and instructs Sadness to stay in the square. And Sadness says, "So I'm supposed to stay in the square?" And she says, "It's not for me to tell you how to do your job." But she wants her to stay in the square. Her main goal is to make sure that Riley is happy on that first day of school. By the end of the movie, Joy learns there is much, much more to being happy than just boundless positivity. Joy and Sadness find themselves lost in long-term memory. Joy realizes that she won't get home without Sadness because Sadness knows the way. But Sadness is laying on the ground and won't move. And she says, "I'm too sad to walk." And Joy responds, true to form, grabbing her leg and dragging her through long-term memory. Joy and Sadness travel on until they meet Riley's long-forgotten imaginary friend who has a fantastic name, Bing Bong. He is dejected because he has lost his wagon. It fell into the abyss. And it's Sadness's empathy that helps him to recover, and not Joy's attempt to put a positive spin on her life. So you see Joy putting a positive spin and Sadness empathizing, and it's the empathy that causes him to feel better. And Joy eventually realizes that Sadness is needed to experience a deeper happiness. Sadness becomes a vital part of this movie plot, even potentially being nominated to be the hero of the story. Sadness is vital to our well-being. It alerts us to pain. It allows us to empathize with others. And I'm not talking about long-lasting, hardcore depression. Just your garden variety feeling of sadness when someone is unkind, when something doesn't go well, when we experience a loss or a hurt. Studies have shown that experiencing the whole array of emotions, both from the positive all the way through to the negative, result in better mental health. Being able to experience a wide variety of emotions brings better understanding to wearisome situations and provides options for how we will react. So what I'm saying, in other words, is that if you can sense and understand a full range of emotions, you can better understand the dynamics of a situation and express a variety of emotional responses. It allows for more options rather than simply vacillating between withdraw and anger. Do I withdraw? Do I get mad? We have a wider range of expression. Loss is a natural part of living. We lose things over time. We lose our youthfulness. We lose our dreams. In times of transition, we lose our routine and our stability. We lose our influence. And painfully, we lose our faith in institutions. And that includes the church. Because I got to tell you, the church is not a perfect family. Mistakes and sin pollute it. Yet God chooses this as the vehicle for his mission on the earth. We live with the sadness that all is not right. And we live with the great joy of participating in the family of God, building community and all of the benefits that come from living in community. Listen to that. We're an uptown church. The key in all of this is to pay attention and not avoid feelings of grief, feelings of sadness, feelings of anger or fear. We don't need to avoid them. This avoidance of pain has been impacting funeral practices since November. I had a very interesting conversation with a funeral director I know, and he shared with me how many people are seeking to postpone. We had to postpone during COVID, and now we're postponing funerals for a later date just as a matter of practice. Except he observes that later date never materializes. So more and more people are choosing to skip this vital act of closure because they're not willing or ready to face the pain. Yet the sadness of loss is unavoidable. When we do not process before God the very feelings that make us human, we leak. We leak in soft ways, like passive-aggressive behavior, sarcastic remarks, bad tone, or the dreaded silent treatment. Things like arriving late, forgetting to return a call, withholding information are all signs of unprocessed emotion. I'm shouting for microphone. Sorry, online people. Grieving is not possible without paying attention to our anger and sadness. Jesus demonstrates this at the tomb of Lazarus with visible sadness and tears. And Pete Scazzaro explains it this way. Turning towards our pain is counterintuitive. But in fact, the heart of Christianity is that the way to life is through death. The pathway to resurrection is through crucifixion. And of course, preaching it is easier than it lives, he says. So we would do well to practice turning towards pain and loss, trusting the God of resurrection. It's like choosing to walk eastward into the darkness, trusting that the sun will rise. The book of Job is a great example of this. For about 35 chapters, we see Job engaging with pain. He shouted at God. He prayed wild prayers. He told God exactly what he was feeling. He doubted. He wept. He wondered at where God was amidst his circumstances. And God saw Job through it all. He even expressed pleasure in Job's faithfulness. One infuriating part of walking through sadness is the waiting. Can I get a witness? God needs to bring the relief, and that takes time. And there are so many instances where we see this painful waiting in the Bible. In Job's story, in Abraham's story as he's waiting for a son, in Joseph's waiting in prison, in the Hebrews enslaved in Egypt. And then their impatience as Moses is walking them on the journey to freedom. And even the disciples had to wait. They wait at the cross, at the tomb, and in Jerusalem until the Spirit descends upon them. So loss and grief cannot be hurried. It takes time. Development comes in the waiting, and relief comes in sharing and attending to our emotional life. Rich fruit is produced through loss and sorrow and grief. God transforms us. Our prayers start to shift from "save me, help me, rescue me, fix it, God," to a deeper union with Christ, a Christ who was acquainted with sorrow. So accept this invitation to embrace sadness. Remember that sadness is not something to be feared or avoided, but instead it's a vital part of our emotional and spiritual journey. Just as Jesus wept and the psalmist poured out his soul in lament, so too we can bring our sadness to God, trusting that he will bring us through into a place of deeper joy. Let us boldly walk east into the dark as we wait for sunrise. Let us offer companionship to those who grieve around us. And it's true, like joy, we may wish to draw a square chalk circle on the ground to contain our sadness, to which I say, don't do it. May we soon discover that sadness read the manual, so we need her to show us the way home. Pray with me, please. Lord, may David's prayer be our own. Let us feel comfort as we speak to our sadness. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God. Let us declare our intention, for I shall yet again praise you, O Lord, my help and my God. Father, only you know the depths of our losses. You are present to our pain. I pray this morning that you would remind us of your tender care, your perfect will, and the fact that you use everything to lead us to a closer walk with you. Lord, I specifically pray for the ones among us in deep pain in this season. Care for them. Renew their spirits and lead them in the way of processing loss and growing in both peace and joy. It's because of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now, if you would join me in your bulletin, we have prayer. We're going to do it throughout this series, a formational prayer around our emotions. Let us pray together. Oh God, we thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. If it were not for you, we would not even be aware of you or our need for your transforming work beneath the surface of our lives. Lord, give us the courage to be honest about our emotions and to allow the Holy Spirit's power to be at work below the surface of our lives, so that Jesus might be fully formed in us. Lord, help us to grasp how deep and wide the love of Christ is for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.